is our Shir Yom HaShabbos and explain certain portions of P the Radak. So today I would like to go through the Malbim's Perish on this Mizmor, and then I guess next week we'll move on to the Mizmor. That's the Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos. So first of all, Malbim tells us what the idea behind this Mizmor is. As again, that's like Matthew pointed out, it's hard to see the connection directly between the fact that it's a Mizmor which is done on Shabbos and the rest of the Mizmor of Tzol V'Hodos Hashem and so on. Matthew connected it by saying that according to Radak, Shabbos is a time to be Mizmorim. And therefore, you have off, you have time of rest to be Mizmorim. And that's the connection that this is the appropriate time of Tzol V'Hodos Hashem, the Hadith Book of Hasecha, Hashem, and so on. The Malbim explains that the Mizmor over here, the idea behind this Mizmor is it's talking about Hashkochas Hashem Be'olam, how Hashem is Mashkiach in the world, and that how it appears superficially that the Teva runs a certain way, but really, if the person looks at it in a deeper fashion, he will see that there is, there is in truth, the fact that it is Hashkocha involved in the world, and the only reason why things are run in a fashion which seems to be as natural is in order to give room for Bechira, in order to give room for free will in the world. Now, since, you see the line here, since Shabbos, Jesus, is a testimony of Hashkocha, since Shabbos itself is a testimony of the fact that Hashem is Mashkiach in the world, it's not given over to the hands of Teva and Mikra. I mentioned what he means by that is the Shabbos is a testimony that Hashem directly created the world. There wasn't some evolutionary process, it wasn't some, or it didn't just happen by itself, but rather Shabbos is a testimony of God's guidance in the creation of the world. And also, it continues, we find it says, La'asos, at the end of the piece by Hulu, it says the word La'asos is a future tense. It's a certain sense of Hashem continuing to guide the world in creation. So now, he goes on to say this. That's the idea that Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos says. Testimony of the fact that Hashem is Mashkiach in the world. So he goes on to explain this. Now, you can see the Malbim style is that he explains. Now, Malbim holds no repetition of any words. There are other shittos, like that of Radak and the Sudhavan, that hold that in Vim Ksuvim, you can have something written in seemingly in a repetitious style in order to make a point, but not that every word is necessarily in Midyak. The Navi or the person in Ruach HaKodesh was said over something in a fashion that people would listen to. Yeah. But then the Malbim, one of its principles that his parish is based on, is that there is no repetition. So if you see that there are certain phrases which seem to repeat themselves, and you have to notice nuances between those phrases and see what the different mashal is, each mashal is. And why over here he uses this name, Hashem, and why over here he uses this name, Hashem. Why does he describe him like this and like this? Okay. Based on his principle, it's like this. Togo Hodos Hashem, without Mashim Kha'ilim. So if you notice the first part, we make reference to praise, to thanking Hashem. Okay. There the Yikib, the Shem Yikib, okay. And then it says, "Uluzamir l'shimcha elyon." So what does it mean, "shimcha elyon"? It's your great name. Again, literally means it's good to thank Hashem, and then it's good to sing to your great name. Okay. So he's like, "The Shem Yudkei Vavkei represents how Hashem is involved in our Shabbat process, or is miraculous. He's involved in miraculous fashion, whereas the name, Shem." When we say shame, that represents the fact that Hashem is involved in the Teva. The Shimcha Elyon is that Hashem is above all the Teva. Yeah, it means that even fine in Tibet and Eo, they refer to the other nations refer to God, refer to Hashem as the God of the gods, meaning that He is a force above all other forces. Okay, so that's the Shimcha Elyon. Okay, then it goes on. Mahadi Bavoker has definitely not some of this. So if you notice over here, it says Boker versus evening, versus night. It says Chesed versus emunah. Okay. So what's the difference between chesed and the chesed of Hashem and the emunah of Hashem? What does it mean emunah of Hashem? So emunah of Hashem means reliability of Hashem. Okay. Well, how do you look at this? That emunah is not enough. And emunah somehow is connected to night, and chesed is somehow connected to morning. Okay. So what's the connection? So it says like this. Emunah represents that aspect of Hashem Baruch Hu guide nature. Emunah means that I can rely on this, because I can rely on the fact that the natural process that Hashem created at the beginning of time, and that natural process will continue to run sooner or later. That is the desire of Hashem, and it should set up nature. So that is something which is ne'eman, something which is reliable. I can rely on the fact that there's something called gravity, therefore it's not designed to step up of a building. Yeah? There's something called laws of nature. That is emunah. Emunah means that I can rely on the fact that there are laws of nature. And that is something which is connected to the night. Why? Because the night is a time of inactivity. It's a time where things are at rest. In other words, that Hashem created the Sheishes Mevareishes to run in a natural process, and He doesn't now have to start the process again. The process is running. That is the process of nature that Hashem set up, and in a certain sense, He is inactive regarding the laws of nature because they continue to go the way He set them up. However, chesed is something that you don't have to do. Chesed is something that you opt out of your kindheartedness to go do something for somebody. It's not something you can rely on because it depends on what they want to do then. Right? So chesed is connected to mourning because mourning is a time of activity. There's new found activity. There's new energy that comes out in mourning. That's something new. Chesed is something which Hashem is now intervening right now doing a chesed. That's something which is not emunah, it's not something which He set up a system. It's right now Hashem is intervening. That represents the meaning of Kodesh Baruch Hu of interacting the world in a miraculous fashion, in a non-natural fashion, a supernatural fashion. And then before we understand, the time of activity, where that is connected to the time of chesed, which is something which is new. And that represents the miraculous meat of Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Munatva, which is something which is always was, we can rely on your laws of Teva, that is Balelos. That is something which is a time of inactivity, and that represents the non-miraculous meat of Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu both. We praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu for Teva, we praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu for His supernatural interaction in the world. He says again the different types of harps, different types of instruments, and a sort of 10-string instrument, which is a metal, versus a kinor. So interesting again. Over here, in one place it uses this is Hashem, I'm happy with your hand, with your work. And with your handiwork I sing. So what's the difference between his work, Pa'alatha, and his ma'aseh adecha? And his handiwork. So the Grok, so the Malcolm explains that when you say Ma'aseh Adecha, you're talking about finished products. And when you're talking about Pa'alatha, it means what he's being poet, what he's actively doing right now. So again, going back to the model we had before, so Pa'alatha, which means what he's actively doing right now, that represents that intervention of Hashem in a supernatural fashion, whereas Ma'aseh Adecha is a finished product, that is according to the Bria. The Bria was finished during Yesheshes and Eberashes, and therefore Hashem then continued to go. So again, I am happy with Ma'aseh with Pa'alecha, which is what you are doing right now, intervening in the world. The Ma'aseh Adecha Aramein. Ma Gadu Ma'aseh Hashem, Ma Ma'od Amchu Ma'aseh Adecha. So what is this Ma'aseh? We say the Ma'aseh over here refers to a finished product, which is nature. So we comment again how Hashem, your natural world is so amazing. That it's the old Amku Machshav Sechra. So deep thought and wrong. What's the deep thought and wrong? So going back to the theme of the midst of this breath, and the Malbim said this Mizmar has, the idea behind this Mizmar is the fact that it seems like in a natural fashion the world is running sort of chaotically. But there's no justice over here. You have Rishon getting away with things, and you have Tzadikim who are suffering. So the comment over here is that the natural world, Ma'asecha, this ma'aseh that you created is ma'od amchu ma'aseh adecha. There's a depth behind it. There's something over here which is not clear to pick up. One, there is room for error over here to think that the world is running in a natural fashion.
And that's done for some deep reason you have, which the deep reason that you have is the state of the Bechira, the state of free will. Ish va'ar l'yeda, the chazil l'yavinitas. This is so deep that the fool won't realize what's going on over here. He'll look at the world, and he'll see a world where you see that Rishon are getting away with things. You see that Tzadikim don't seem to get away with things. Don't seem to be rewarded. Yeah, that's because they're looking at it in a foolish aspect. Before the Rishonim came on Esav, the Atizu called Polei Oven, when the Rishonim are the frog, they sprout forth, they blossom, Mo Esav, like grass that spread all over the place. The Atizu called Polei Oven, they have a tzitz, they have this habit of growth to them, these Polei Oven. The whole reason behind that is what he's showing them in the ass. The reason that Hashem, the true reason he let the Rishonim get away, I was just going to go over here. The Rishonim, the reason that they're getting away with everything in this world, that's only because you're giving them the reward in this world. That's all for the sake of the Hishamdom and the Ad. In the end, they're going to finally get to destruction. So when you see a world around you, it seems to be that there's this total mayhem. It seems to be Rishonim getting away with things in the world. That's because they're not seeing the whole picture. Our picture is very limited to what goes on in the physical world. In fact, it's only limited to the year we actually have in this world. How much more so is it limited to seeing beyond this world? This is the Atzav Maram Yom Hashem. Now listen to this line. Atzav Maram Yom Hashem. And you, Hashem, are mighty, are on top, Maram. You're high, you're the Olam, and you are eternal. Atzav Maram Yom Hashem. You can read you're eternally high, or you can read it as you are high, you're eternal. So the Malbim's like, oh, says that a regular person would want to punish somebody else, want to take revenge on somebody else, as soon as possible. Because there are two reasons why he's not going to wait. First reason is, he doesn't know if he's going to always have the upper hand. Right now that he knows he has the upper hand, take advantage of it, because you know, the table's my turn, and if I don't get him now, who's to say I'll have a chance to do it later on? Because maybe I will not have the ability to do it, number one. And number two is, maybe this guy's going to die, or maybe I'll go before I have a chance to take revenge on this guy. In other words, that one of the two of us is now my time. Yeah, either I won't have a chance to take revenge, or by the time I want to play out things, the guy doesn't actually die, and I won't have a chance to take revenge. So he says, but you, Hashem, have two qualities that preclude that those problems. The first issue is that Tamarom. You are always on time. You, Hashem, never have this issue of not having upper hands. You always have the upper hand. Not only that, you're the Olam. In other words, you, there's no sin of time for you. If you don't get him now, you'll get him later. You're not bound by any time. So therefore, you have these two advantages. You have nothing, Hashem, you, that's why you give people time. You're in no rush to take care of, to get rid of anybody. You have the time on your hands. Okay? Kihine Yevecha Hashem, Kihine Yevecha Yevedu, Yisparadu Kobol Yevedu. He says, behold, the Yevecha Hashem, they're going to be destroyed. Why? For two reasons. First of all, Kihine Yevecha, that's the reason why you're going to. First reason is, Hashem, people who are against you, that itself is a reason to be destroyed. But there's another problem. Yisparzu kofol yavim. Yisparzu means Hashem to be split up. Yisparzu kofol yavim. Because the teva, as the Malbim explained, the teva of their actions, their evil actions, the one which automatically will bring them to fall apart. In other words, if you have these crooked people who are working together, they have two issues that can be. First, they can get caught by the authorities. And the second, since each one of them is crooked, when they're working together, each one of them has their own agenda, so they really can't trust each other. And there's a very good chance that the whole thing will fall apart anyway. So that's what I'm saying over here. First of all, the two reasons why the Rishonim can't last. First of all, they're against the authority. And number one, number two, even naturally, Yisparzu, they will split up. It's natural for them to split up, call Paul the other, and then eventually give it to a fall apart. Okay? But Tarim Kirain Karni, Hashem, you lift up my horn, which is a sign of grandeur of success. You lift up my horn like a Re'ain, like this, I don't know, this type of ox, this large ox.
Baloisi v'shem v'adam. So the Malbim explains Baloisi means when I'm worn away, you give me you in and you put you have leather which is worn out. You put oil on it. Yeah? So you in other words, give me a newfound strength despite my being worn away. And the Malbim explains that when the Rishonim are destroyed, then my hachlok will be lifted up. And I will be invigorated and new. Okay. Vatavet eini b'shiroi literally means, but my eye will see those who look at me. Vakomim alai mereim tishman aznai. And those who rise up against me, even when they rise up against me, my ear will hear. And then it goes on. Tzadik katzamer yifroch ke'eretz b'zamaniskeh. That tzadik will be like a date tree. Will sprout like a date tree, ke'eret, like a cedar tree, but in Lebanon, yitke, it will be strong, it'll grow. So he says, he needs to cultivate this. But tabek yini v'shirar, say, that after I know that the tzadikim, their beginnings are yisurim, in the end, they will have shalom, they have serenity, as opposed to reshurim of the opposite. Therefore, my eye will see those people who are looking at me at this time when those people are rising against me. They're going to be observers. And the observers, when they notice those people rising against me and eventually have fallen and my ultimate success, then my ear will hear those people, the observers, saying, look, tzadik katamar yifrach. The tzadik will spread forth like a date tree. Now, what's between a date tree and a cedar tree? A date tree, it has roots. The cedar tree doesn't have fruit. So the cedar tree is a stronger tree. Yeah. So one of them, the mushal of future. The tamar gives forth fruit. It gives forth pears, which in this sense represents children and the ultimate continuation of species. Whereas the cedar tree represents itself a mighty tree. So two aspects. The tzaddik will himself be mighty, himself will have a kiyum, he will have an osidim, and there's also an aspect of him giving forth fruit, whether it be children, whether it be talmidim, there's something of him being like a tamar as well. He'll have both these aspects. Shesuvim uveis Hashem, b'chasos avokeinu yafrichu. Now, the Malbim explains that shesuvim means that it's uprooted from one place and put in another place. Yeah, mashil something. Okay. So he says that the shesubim, the tzaddikim, will be uprooted from this world and placed in ultimate olam haba. Yeah? Because that's where the ultimate success is. That represents the cedar tree, which is represent the success of the tree itself. Okay? And he says that next part it is the chatzos of the king Yafihu. The chatzos, the chatzir, is placed before the bias. Yeah, that's the getting to the house. The chatzir represents this is represents Olam Hazeh, yeah, which is the place before you get into the bayit is Olam Haba. So, like everybody saying, they also the chatzos of the king and afriku. They also have success like a tamar tree in this world. They're giving forth talmidim in this world or children in this world. Let's finish off. Oh, you knew from the seva the shirim and the new. He said there will be new, but they'll give forth peros even in their old age, whether it means talmidim or children. The Shein and Rana, they themselves also will have this aspect of being renewed with their own kavod to use for Torah and ultimately on Haba. Only if you say that, then, and the whole point of this Mizbar is Lahagim Ki Ashar Hashem, to know Hashem that you are just. Yeah, we don't see the whole picture, but at the end of the day, Hashem, you do see the whole picture, and you see how from the beginning to the end, you run things of justice. Suri, you are my rock, although Allah Ta'ala there is nothing crooked about the Banishan's justice as well. I'm sorry? Yeah. No, I didn't have any. I started from the Mutsi Pusha.